Welcome to White House First Assembly of God's online podcast. Here you can listen to all the latest messages here at WFA. For more information about our church, please visit www.mywfa.org.
Independence Day is awesome as a nation. It may or may not be awesome as a movie, I'm not sure. But Independence Day is a great celebration. But can I tell you, when it comes to our relationship with God, we're in trouble when we declare we're independent of Him. And what I want to bring to you this morning is that when we are without prayer, or even the line prayerlessness, is our declaration of independence. When we're not connected, when we're not praying, we are essentially declaring, Lord, I don't need you, I got this. And how many know when we do that, we're in a dangerous place? When we say, God, I can do this without you. I can go all week without connecting with you, without abiding with you, without praying, without digging a well. God, I'll get everything I need on Sunday. And when we're disconnected, it's us in essence saying, oh, we may not say it in our words, but our life says, Lord, I'm declaring my independence. I don't need you. I can do this alone. And it's with that thought, and it's with that premise, I want to look at John 15. I want you to see what happens when we are dependent, when we are connected, when we are abiding in Christ. These are the words of Jesus this morning in John chapter number 15. You'll see it up there on the screen in your notes or inside your bulletin or on your Bible. I am the true vine, Jesus says, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, abide in me, and I will remain or abide in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. But if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be disciples. Jesus, speak to us this morning from an illustration that we all can understand, we all can relate to. Lord, what a great example of our need to abide, to remain, to stay connected to you. Lord, draw us today to a moment of abiding in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're taking notes with me this morning, I just want to break down this passage. Really, Jesus has said it. It's true. It's powerful. We could say amen and head home and try to live it. That's the challenge this morning. But I want to break it down in four ways. The first part I want you to see is the goal. What is the goal of this particular passage? It's that you and I are fruitful. To be fruitful is the goal. That's the whole point of what Jesus is writing here. There's some warnings, there's some promises, how it happens, but the goal is to be fruitful. And Jesus uses an illustration that they could all relate to. They understood vines, branches, fruit. You and I, we can relate to this. Fruit. I want you right now, kind of interacting with the message, I want you to turn to your person next to you and tell them your favorite fruit. Tell it, whatever it is. Favorite fruit. If you said cherry cobbler, you fell, all right? Cherry cobbler does not count as your favorite fruit. If I were to answer that question, my favorite fruit, I would say simply fresh fruit. Well, there's nothing like, if you've ever been in a tropical place or Florida, maybe with an orange, being in a natural place where it grows, there's nothing like fresh fruit. Last summer, I was in Belize. I told you about that in last week's message on a mission trip. And we're going through the jungles and in the middle of nowhere. All of a sudden, our guide runs up to the bus driver and says, stop the bus, everybody stop. That moment, didn't know what he saw, what was going on, pulled off on the side of the road, and he gets out of the bus. It's never good when your guide just gets out of the bus and runs across the street. That makes people nervous. Guiding 101. And so he runs across the street and he runs and then he comes back. He says, "All right, everybody that wants fresh coconut, come out of the bus." They're like, "Fresh coconut?" He said, "Man, you'll never believe how refreshing, how good this is." And one of the kids said, "Man, I've had fresh coconut. We got coconut water at Walmart one time." The guy just, oh, Americans. And so we walk over there to the stand, and guy pulls out a machete and puts the coconut down, chops the top off, sticks the straw in it, and hands it to us. Can I tell you, that was the most amazing drink that I have experienced on a hot day. So refreshing and so good. Fresh fruit is just amazing. We've traveled and had like pineapple or maybe coconut or kiwi, those kind of things. When it's fresh, it's amazing. And that's what Jesus was talking about here. Verse 1, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. The point is that you and I, our lives, as we stay connected, will produce great, fresh, pleasant, amazing fruit. And he says things that don't produce fruit, he'll prune so that it will be even more fruitful. Now, you and I can relate to that example. Yesterday, I got some tools up here for pruning. Yesterday was the first Saturday that we have had free in, about 8 weeks. And the last one we'll have free for probably 8 more weeks. And so I thought, I was so looking forward to this day. No soccer games, no activities. I couldn't wait for Saturday. And then it got there and something happened. We left and we came back and I pulled up into my driveway and thought, I can't take that yard anymore. You ever had that moment? You just can't take the weeds and the yard and the shrubs anymore. And so I went and got my tools and pulled them out. And I don't even know what some of these are, but they cut things and they trim things and they make a big mess. My wife reminded me that of this morning when she got in. "Hey, Connects tonight, you need to clean up the mess you made." I'm like, "But doesn't it look good, you know?" So it takes a lot of work to prune, to cut, to trim. But the goal is that it would grow, produce fruit, produce vines. And God, as the gardener, his goal is that you and I would be fruitful. Now, I've got some examples of what it takes to cut and to trim things up so that it can be fruitful. Just on a side note, my dad once preached this message. My dad was my pastor growing up when I was in elementary school, and I remember a few messages, but this one in particular, I still have nightmares about. Dad was preaching this text right here, and he had a fake tree, you know, that we would, you know, big fake tree, and he had a chainsaw. Man, I still hear that chainsaw going. I mean, he was spitting and yelling, and "If your life isn't producing fruit, God will take that chainsaw." And I'm like, as a 10-year-old, wide-eyed, tears in my eyes, "God, I want to always be fruitful so you don't cut my branches off," you know? It terrified me. So today, no chainsaws. Not going to terrify you or give you nightmares. But these tools, these things God uses sometimes to trim us, to cut away some things that is keeping us from growing, that is hurting us, to trim it up. And the goal we see, the goal of all this passage is that you and I would be fruitful. Now, fruit's a common theme we find throughout the New Testament. Another passage is Matthew 7, verse 15. It says, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves." Whenever I hear that, I grew up on Tom and Jerry. Anybody grew up on Tom and Jerry? Remember the Tom and Jerry's where the wolf would dress in sheepskins? Are you flashing back to that? That they got that from the Bible. It's right here. Tom and Jerry were anointed by God, I guess. Don't take that. All right. "By their fruit, you will recognize them. For do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them." The goal God has for us is to make us fruitful. It sometimes comes through closed doors and open doors. Sometimes comes as we're reading His Word and just reading through our devotionals and something comes alive. Oh, it's like a cut. Sometimes these things come in and there's some chopping and some cutting so that we can produce fruit. It's his goal, it's his mission that you and I would produce fruit. Even, we're going to look at it in just a moment, it brings him glory when you and I produce fruit in our life. What are some of the fruit? Galatians chapter number 5, verse 22 says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control." Anytime I read that list, I always have to go through there and almost give myself a pop quiz. How am I doing on kindness? How am I doing on self-control? Maybe I'm getting an A on peace, but man, I'm getting a C on patience. And recognizing, God, I got some things to work on. God, I need to submit myself to you and let you cut away some things that don't belong so that these fruit can be produced. And how many know people in your life can tell if you've been remaining in God? They can see the fruit. They know. See, the good side is that list, but the bad side is the opposite of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. When we're not abiding, that those fruit aren't being produced. I also love Colossians 1, verse 10. "And we pray this, that in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord, may please him in every way." How? "Bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, that you have great endurance, patience, joy, giving thanks, gratitude to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light." That's a beautiful description of what happens when we remain in him. We have strength and power, joy and patience, endurance. We're able to make it, but apart from him, we can do nothing. So the goal, I want you to see with this whole passage, the goal is that you and I would be fruitful Christians. What's the key? The key is that we would remain, or maybe you like the word abide, remain or abide in Christ. He says, "Remain in me and I in you. No, for no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine." Now, how many recognizes this is just so simple? We make it complicated. Jesus says so clearly, if you remain in me, if you stay connected, if you're connecting through prayer, if you're dependent on me, then you're going to produce great fruit. You're going to give me glory. You're going to experience all these things in your life. If you try to do it on your own, you're on your own. So simple. Follow me. Abide. Remain with me. Jesus makes it so simple. We're the ones that make it complicated. And how many know you can't produce fruit on your own? Have you ever walked past a tree that was straining to produce fruit? Have you ever heard it? It's like trying and work, you know, grunting. If you walk past a grunting tree, I don't know what to tell you. Run, maybe? The tree can't do it on its own. It's tapped into the vine. And you and I are the same way. It's only through remaining in him. I wrote down in my notes, because I first worked myself over with the message from God, and I wrote, I can be so busy doing for God that I miss out on being with God. So busy doing and checking things off that I miss out on just being still. Abiding, remaining with him. It's just so simple here. It's just a simple concept that Jesus teaches if we'll remain in him. Now notice, it doesn't say anything about anybody remaining for you. It says you remain. See, your spouse, your parents, your kids, your Sunday school teacher, your pastor, no one can remain for you. It's your job. It's your choice. No one can do it. No one can do it for you. You know, I've been in church all my life. My dad was in ministry. Then we were associate pastors. Now we're pastoring for 10 and a half years. And so I've heard everything in the church world. Everything from, you know, that church doesn't feed me, or, you know, that pastor, you know, doesn't whatever. The church doesn't help me grow spiritually. Can I tell you? Just back off for a moment from being pastor. Just hear this as if I wasn't a pastor. It's your responsibility to grow. Remain in me, and I will remain in you, and you will produce fruit. It's not the church's or the pastor's fault. It's your responsibility. Can you imagine going to the China buffet in White House right after church? They got all the food. It's hot and ready, and you walk in, and you sit down, and you wait for somebody to feed you. Guess what you're going to do? Starve. That's exactly right. you're going to starve. No, the church's job, pastor's job, your Sunday school teacher's job, your devotional time is laying the spread out before you, but you have to eat. Jesus said, if you'll remain in me, if you'll abide, if you'll stay connected with me, if you declare your dependence and not your independence with me, I will produce fruit. You have to trust God. Maybe today you don't feel it. Maybe today you haven't been abiding in Christ. Can I tell you, it's so much harder to do it without God. That's why I said, apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. I encourage you today. In him, you find strength and power and hope, wisdom. Everything you need is found in him. Trust him today. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, one of my life verses, says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Notice how many times it's not in your own. It's in him. Trust him. Remain in him. Abide in him. There's also a warning in this passage from Jesus. The warning is that if we do it our way without him, it's going to lead to useless living. Useless Christians. Verse 6. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a useless Christian. I want to be a Christian filled with fruit, making a difference, using every moment that I'm here on this earth for his glory. I don't want to be useless, that I can do nothing, that I'm thrown away and withers. But how many know the enemy also knows this scripture? He also knows that if you remain in God, if you're connected, if you're praying, then look out. So guess what the enemy does? Guess what life does? Too busy to pray. Distracted to pray. Got other things going on. I've got other reasons. Anything to keep us from praying. That phone rings. The distractions come. Your mind is moving. 90 to nothing. Why? Because if he can separate you from the vine, from that connection, then we see that we are useless. Maybe that's why we're so tired, so weary, so stressed, so anxious, because we're trying to do it on our own strength instead of abiding in God, in his strength, in his way, in his wisdom. Sometimes we don't even realize how ineffective we are until we read scripture like this and we go, man, God, I really have. I've been disconnected. It's kind of like a pitcher for the Rangers years ago. His name was Jim Kern. And he was having a tough game as a pitcher and struggling. And they're just hitting the ball all over the place. And he watched the manager come out from the dugout, that long walk to the mound. And he's like, oh, man, the coach is going to pull me out. And he gets to the mound and he says, Jim, how are you? And Jim said, man, I'm doing great, coach. I'm not tired at all. Jim, the coach, without missing a beat, said, you may not be tired, but the outfielders sure are. They've been working overtime because of your pitching ability. You know, sometimes we feel that way. We're doing it on our own, working overtime, exhausted. And here, Jesus just gives a simple invitation. If you abide in me, I have everything that you need. Just like our pitcher in the Rangers, the rest of his team were affected because of his weakness. Can I tell you, I believe people in our lives are affected when we're not abiding in Christ. How many know our spouses can tell? How many know our kids can tell? They can tell when I'm not being patient. They can tell when I'm not being kind, when I'm tired. People can tell, people at work, people at home, friends. But you know what? Let's take it a different way. How many know the world can tell when our light is not shining brightly? We're not showing that fruit. Our purpose for being here is not happening. The church needs you to stay connected to your purpose of why you're here. I came across, somebody actually reminded me of this verse 2 weeks ago, Isaiah 30, verse 15. Listen to these words. This is what the sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. But you would have none of it. We know the answer. Remain. Abide. repentance, rest, quietness, trust. Do it God's way. He wants to partner with you. Leave you in the game. He'll shag all the fly balls. He believes in you. Don't give up. Keep remaining. Keep digging like last week. And then the promise. The promise is faithful living, fruitful living. The promise is fruitful living. If the warning is that it's useless living, then the promise Jesus gives here is fruitful living. That after the gardener prunes us and gets us ready and we're tapped into the vine, that our lives will produce great fruit. Jesus said, I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Three things. I give you three bullet points there. Three things that God promises if we remain. We stay connected. We're praying. We're dependent on him. What does it say? You can get it right from the text. You're going to bear much fruit. It's a promise. Your life is going to be filled with much fruit. Just as you told your neighbor your favorite fruit. There's nothing like that fresh fruit, that favorite fruit. Our lives are like that. The Bible says another place that we are the aroma of Christ. When we are connected, we're going to bear much fruit. Then he gives us a promise. Ask whatever you wish and it will be given. Ask, given. Our prayers are going to be affected. Why? Because we're not praying our will, but we're praying his will. I'm so connected. I know his heart. I know his desire. I know his will. I'm praying exactly how he wants me to pray. And then maybe the best part, verse 8 tells us that it's for the Father's glory that you and I bear much fruit. When our lives are growing, producing that fruit, we're connected. People are noticing. God's getting glory. It says his glory comes. It's for his glory that you and I would be connected.